Turn with us to John's Gospel, chapter number 2. John's Gospel, chapter number 2. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I feel sorry for folk today that goes to a church where they'd call off service for a Super Bowl. Glad my hope's not in a field or a game, but it's in the lovely one that hung on a cross, died and shed his blood for us. John 2, verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. I'm glad Jesus has always had witnesses of the great things that He's done. Jesus never had to perform a miracle to give Him confidence of who He was. Jesus always has performed miracles to give us confidence and who He is to us. And on the third day, there was a marriage. Sound like to me that on the Sabbath day was Saturday. So on about Tuesday, Jesus decided to come around. Aren't you glad we got a God that's not only God on Sunday, but He's a God through the week. And the Bible said Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage. Boy, I could preach about a half a day right there. I guarantee you the reason a lot of folks don't want to invite Him, they're ashamed about what's going on. What's this? When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto Him, they have no wine. Somebody shout, Mama knows best. And Jesus said unto her, woman, Brother Adams talked about culture in Sunday school. Today, we use this sort of a word that's sort of putting people in their place. But here Jesus referred to this word as a lady. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come, but it was coming. What hour, preacher? The greatest hour that's ever been known to mankind. The hour that would entail story of all stories. Of the darling Lamb of God going to a bloody cross, dying for the sins of this world. And His mother said to the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. I told you, Mama knows best. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, or about 20 to 25 gallons each. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. They filled them up to the brim. He said unto them, draw out now and bear the governor of the feast. They bear it. And the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, saith unto him, every man that begin to set forth good wine, when men have well drunk, than that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine till now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. You may be saved this morning. Father, we love You. So we thank You for this good time together. I pray now that You'd bring to the things of my heart, God, that You'd have me to say this morning, touch our body. Pray You'd help me like only You can help us. God, we want to thank You for little Taylor being in our presence today. God, how You've touched him and allowed him life. We thank You for that. God, many requests have been spoken. We know You are a God that hear our prayers. Lord, I realize that You can do no wrong, and everything You do will be right. Help us now in this preaching. Draw a sinner to the cross. Help families. Strengthen the saints of God. Help the church this morning. We'll be grateful to You in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to preach this morning out of John 2 on the thought of miracles of the Master. We find here this first miracle that Jesus performed. He performed it, no doubt, on Tuesday. As I've already said, I'm glad we've got a God that works miracles through the week in our lives. And a lot of people just got a God on Sunday, like Brother Adam taught this morning. There's a lot of folks that are fans, but there's very few that are followers. And certainly we need followers in the body of Christ in the day and hour that we live. And now, I want to clarify something on this word wine in our Bible. In the Greek, the word is used the same as alcohol and non-alcohol. I can tell you this, Jesus never brought alcohol to a event because He knew how weak that people are. And this was grape juice. And also in the culture of that day, I'm not a wino, but I know a little bit about it. I know that wine's some 12 to 17% alcohol content. Brother Adam spoke again on culture this morning. Has us to do about culture in the Bible. And that culture of that day, the water was so impure, but it had such a low alcohol content to it, just to purify the water. But I'm going to take the thought this morning, it was grape juice. Never thank Jesus brought alcohol into their life or your life. Somebody say amen. You say, why are you sure of that? Because He wrote too much about it not to be fooling with it. He said, don't look in the cup while the grape is red. Don't follow strong drink. A wine bibber is a fool, He said. So therefore, Jesus brought grape juice. Don't think you can go down yonder to five and dime now and get you a little snort, and it'll be all right, because it won't be all right. I'm against social drinking. Why? Because the flesh is never satisfied with a little. Now it won't put you in hell, but it will destroy our testimony. Somebody say amen. And so here in the Bible, there are some areas I want us to look at. First of all, has to do with the woman. Now, you'll notice, first of all, her attendants. In verse number 1, the Bible said there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That lets me know something. The Bible's true. There was God incarnated in the womb of a woman, born of a virgin, had never known man. Matter of fact, you'll never find in your Bible where the Bible mentions Joseph as the father of Jesus. But you will find here is Mary, the mother of Jesus, because the Holy Ghost conceived in her womb and brought forth the darling, spotless Lamb of God that had never known sin. Somebody said Christ walked in here and He could have sinned if He wanted to. No, He couldn't, because He's pure and He's holy and He can't even look on sin, neighbor. And therefore we see that the Bible's just backing up by Bible truth. Jesus was born. I like that song that Brother Chris sings. Buddha's in the grave. But I'm glad we go on down to the garden and we find an empty tomb. And therefore we see the woman and her attendants. The mother of Jesus was there. And then notice her attention. In verse number 3, as I was thinking and pondering, you know what she said? Nobody run and told her. You'll notice simply about this woman and her attention, she found out something was missing. I wonder why. I imagine a few days with her and Joseph, she found out that some wine was missing down in their marriage. You know, wine is a picture of joy in the Bible. And isn't it amazing, before the marriage even got finished, there was marriage trouble. Oh, Lord, that rabbit just got up. But aren't you glad there's some people that knows what's missing in a marriage? Boy, she looked around. I'm glad that I live with a lady 34 years. A lot of times she can tell her children what's missing. And I can tell you this, she could tell some of y'all what's missing, but you don't want to hear what she's got to say to you. Amen. And so you'll find out here that this woman, the mother of Jesus, was there. You'll see her attendance and her attention. She was tuned in to what was going on. And you know, nobody's marriage is perfect. But aren't you glad that Jesus can bring joy back in a marriage? Jesus can bring joy back in a life. Now watch this story as it unfolds. Not only her attendance and her attendance, but watch, look at her action. Now in verse number 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Her action, she knew where to go. She didn't go to the marriage counselor. I could save some of y'all a lot of heartache, a lot of grief, and I know we have issues and troubles in our marriage. But honey, let me tell you, every answer that we need for our problems lies in this old King James Bible. I don't have to go to the secular world and let them tell me what's wrong with my marriage. The Bible will tell me what's wrong with my marriage. I'm supposed to love my wife as Christ loved the church. And the wife is to subject herself to the husband. A lot of you don't like that. But I can't help what you don't like. I don't like what the doctor gives me. But if I don't take it, I just keep a hurting. Somebody say amen. And therefore, and there's the woman and her attendance and her attention, but her action, she took it to Jesus. Wouldn't that be a blessing if some of y'all would quit talking about everybody's other stuff and take it to the Lord? Y'all look like you need some preaching. Some of y'all need to quit being the FBI and take it to the Lord. You need to quit gossiping in the beauty shop. You need to quit gossiping down yonder at Wally World and at Mickey D's. You need to get on your knees like she did and talk to somebody that can help somebody in this whole world. Talking about somebody ain't going to help nobody but put mud on you and put mud on me. Be careful, don't point your finger at somebody you got a lot more looking back at. I'm glad I'm pastoring a church that where there's real people. So if you got real people, you got to have real preaching or nothing's going to happen. And boy, she knew where to take her troubles to. She took it unto the Lord. I wonder if we'd bombard heaven for others, how much better off would people be instead of talking about. Amen. So we see her actions. She knew where she could go. But then notice her assessment. This stone's Mariology this morning. The Roman Catholic Church, some believe that you talk to Mary and then she takes it on in the Lord. For honey, let me tell you, we don't say our prayers to Mary and count our beads. I'm glad there's one. That's, I feel a little hacking coming on. I'm glad, would somebody help me preach on a Sunday? I'm glad there's somebody on the right hand side of the Father making intercession for me and you this morning. He puts her in her place and brings it down to the real world. I was reading some of the authors. Matter of fact, they thought maybe that Mary had this likelihood that her boy might have owed her a favor. You know, I've noticed some men pastoring churches, I don't have this issue because my little old mama's 85 and assisted living home in Tennessee. But I've noticed, Brother Leon, some of these men, young men pastoring churches, their mom and daddy's in the church, and they think they got a bow to mom and daddy. But honey, let me tell you something. God is the authority. Christ did not report to Mary, honey. Mary had to report to Christ. He put her right in her place on our level, a woman. And don't you think you done got too high neither for crutches. I'm going to tell you something. We all stand even at the foot of Cal. Some may be a little closer to Jesus than others, but you better realize we're all human this morning. My God, that felt so good. I'm going to say it again. There may be some of us closer to Jesus than others, but we better watch out. We're human. Y'all don't want preaching. Y'all too full of snacks from the snow days. My God, I thought garbage pickup, he'll charge me double this month. Them kids come bowling in at my house about Tuesday. What we going to eat? Megan went down yonder to Cost Plus and found out that flour didn't grow in the store. Kyle said, Mama, ain't no flour on the shelf. Hello? Y'all young'uns think flour just falls out of them grocery store ceiling. Trucks has got to run. Hello? Piggly Wiggly reminded me of the Fifth Sunday Baptist Vote Day. My Lord, people you ain't seen in 10 years, Brother Lee, show up. My Lord, I feel like preaching a little bit this morning. So it may be some of us closer to Jesus than others, but we better never think that we're on a different level than nobody else. He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour's not come. In other words, I'm taking orders from headquarters, not from you. And I remind you this morning, God don't take orders from nobody. The boys in the White House think they're giving orders to God. But I got news for this. I could have run this country better when I was 12 years old. Behind a mule and a pair of Pointer brand overhauls. Somebody say amen. I know what in the mule I was behind. Yeah, man! Say amen right there, Brother David. Amen. Well, her assessment was not her place to give orders to Christ. Then I love verse 5 when he sort of reminded her of where she was and who she was. Look what she said about her advice. Verse 5. And his mother said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That fix every home in America this morning. That fix every church in America. That fix every life in America. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. Now that's the woman. Number two, look at the advice. The Bible says, now not only the woman, but look at the want from her advice. First of all, you'll notice this appears. The Bible says in verse 3, when they wanted wine. I like this. Brother Adam said something, spoke so much to me this morning in Sunday school. He said these words. He said, sometimes God will let you get stuck to keep you from getting stuck. He got stuck on the side of the road. Some of you got stuck in life. But what you might know, our good God's just watching about you. It could be a bigger stuck down the road. So therefore, we find this want. All of a sudden, they got to wanting something. Verse 3, when they wanted wine. I noticed this, the cause of the want. First of all, maybe it ran out. You know, he may let you run out that you may find something better. No doubt now, this want came in them. And did you know this? You'll never have Jesus till your want gets fixed. A lot of you, you'll never get cured of your addictions till your want gets fixed. You'll never get your problem handled till your want gets fixed. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. They wanted something. I've noticed people getting around Jesus with a deep want, a deep need. Then he's there to fulfill that need. Now, I want to say on this want, the cause of the want, but look at the crises of the want. Now, what we don't understand about this culture, it was a great shame to be without this drink for a wedding party. It was a shame. It was such a splendid event when the guests came in and they didn't have food and drink. It was a shame upon that family. Here, there's a cause of the want. There's a crisis of the want. But you'll notice, thirdly, there's a cost about this want. It was going to cost them something. And it had to do with them. Look what Jesus said. Now, all of a sudden now, the water pots come up in the picture. He said, okay. He said, I got you won't interested. Now, let me tell you what you do. That brings me thirdly. Not only to the woman and the won't, but now look at the water pots. The Bible said, and there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece, or 20 to 25 gallons. One of the writers said it could be 150 gallon pots sitting there. Now, what had happened in their custom before you come into the house, this is what they washed in. They'd wash off their feet. Boys, they didn't run around in four-wheel drives. They walked everywhere they went. I like a little boy about a haircut one time. He's letting his hair get long. You know, in the hippies in the 70s, where we had them bell bottoms and stacks. Somebody say amen, amen. And them bang haircuts, amen. Little boy let his hair grow out. He done got about 17. His daddy said, boy, let me tell you something. You need a haircut or a flea collar one. Somebody say amen. He said, well, Daddy said, I'm letting my hair get long. He said, you know, Jesus had long hair. He said, well, let me tell you something. If you think you had long hair, give me them truck keys because he walked everywhere he went to. Somebody say amen right there. But I'm going to tell you today, these water pots was used as a ceremony, as a custom to wash off before you came in the house. There were 6 of them standing over there. So Jesus reached. I've noticed this. Jesus uses simple things. And I got to putting this sermon together, looking at these water pots. And I got to thinking their characteristics. They had to be Baptists. Because they had wide mouths and hard heads. This wasn't no jug. Amen. It was a pot. A jug's got a little hole, you can barely get it out. This thing had a wide mouth on it. Reminds me of a good Sunday Baptist. Amen.
Amen. Y'all hear what that preacher said? Y'all see what that preacher had on?
Somebody help me preach on Sunday. We notice their characteristics had a wide mouth and hard head. Ain't it amazing? God can use some crazy people. Somebody say amen. The characteristics of that pot. Boy, oh, wide mouth and worthless material. That's what we was. And you'll notice this. It was a 6 of them. The number of man shows our humanity. You know, we wouldn't fit to be killed. It amazes me Jesus loved us and saved us. What the problem with some of y'all, your mama told you you was pretty when you was a baby and you ain't never got over it since she told you that. But honey, let me tell you something. 6 is a number, numerology of the Bible, of humanity. Boy, how eat up with stone we are. We're hard cases. But aren't you glad Jesus can use hard cases? Some of y'all some hard-headed rascals. Amen. Hey, ma'am, go and punch him. It'll be all right to give him a good glorified elbow on Sunday morning. Amen. Little henpeck-looking rascal. The characteristics, notice this, though, the contents. It was empty. Oh, my. I'm going to tell you something. I've noticed this, Brother Lee. There's hope when you get empty. Every time I've got empty, there's hope for me. Hope when you get empty. When your marriage empty, there's hope for me. I remember my girls don't know nothing about this. I'm glad they don't. 34 years ago, I was hooked on the weed of this world. Be careful before you get judgmental. I got around the wrong crowd. And I got to playing with sin. Before long, sin began playing me. Just like a fiddle. Anytime it wanted to pick me up, it had me. My wife got tired of me living like the devil, and she should have had. She told me that day, she said, Ken, I would have left you. But Jesus wouldn't let me. Talking about hard cases. Talking about empty. She said, I just give up on everything. Brother Tim, I always think about this when I read this verse, but God. I'm glad God budded in our lives. Matter of fact, when I got saved, Brother David, God is fixing to call me to preach, and He hadn't told me yet. But He told her, said, you're going to be a preacher's wife. She's stirring green beans. She's stirring green beans. She said, you're going to be a preacher's wife. She said, what you going to do with Ken? I guess she thought I was headed to the graveyard, Brother Larry. What you going to do? Well, that wide mouth and hard head. She said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with him. She said, I'm going to put something in him. And I'm going to use it for the glory of God. And I'm going to let joy come out of him in the morning. I've noticed there's help when you get empty. All through this Bible, you'll see nobody never got help when there's half full. When you got empty, that's when God come on the scene. I'm glad God's interested in our lives on Tuesday. Somebody say amen. My God, I love Him so much. Oh, the older I get, the more I need Him so much. You young boys right now, you young and bulletproof, you wait till you get up and your shadows are hurting you. Wait till you get up and you got them fears of life. There's a man told me the other day, he said, preacher, the best word I know to describe after my surgery is I feel old. My God in heaven, what a statement. I'm going to sit down after I said that. How old I feel. I mean, you'll start buying hot pads instead of duck blinds. And back rub instead of baseballs. And I tell you what, you're going to get used to laying on that ground camping out, friend. All that's going to leave one day. You'll be hunting electric blanket, shouting victory in Jesus. Somebody say amen. Well, where was I? The water pots. Their characteristics, their contents. They were very empty. Their capacity. Jesus knew what it would hold. Then watch this, verse 7. The command. Now you talk about going overboard. We got a Jesus that went overboard for us. He told Peter when he's about to get out of the ship to go to Jesus, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to you on the water. He said, come. And he began to sink, Brother Mark, but you'll notice this. Peter went over, but he didn't go under. Thank God we got a God that'll let you go over, but I'll never let you go under. He said, fill them to the brim. You know why Brother Andy and Brother Adam feeds me as teachers? Because they fill themselves to the brim. And it's a big difference, Sunday school teachers. When you're filled to the brim, it's overflow. I stayed about two days with God because I'm hurting so bad I can't do nothing else. Oh, Lord, it may be why I'm hurting. Let it dawn on y'all in a little bit. He knows where to keep us, don't he? Boy, I've noticed when you get in there and you get filled to the brim, he said, just pour out. You can just run on overflow. Thank the Lord. Same way with anything ministering for God. He said, fill it to the brim. A lot of y'all, you don't like this old time religion. You say, well, just a little bit of religion's enough for me. It wasn't for him. Boy, I'm glad he went farther. I'm glad he went further than religion. I'm glad he went further than the priest did. He got on the cross, honey. He poured his life out. Filled it to the brim for me and you. He said, tell you what y'all do. Y'all take them water pots. And said, y'all go down there and you fill them up with water. Water is a great representation of the Word of God. Ain't it amazing, Brother Tim, when we empty and we start doing this. And he said, now bring it to me and pour it out. Boy, ain't it a blessing when you... That's what's wrong with some of y'all. You're not drinking out of the right well. And boy, when it filled them up to the brim. Jesus loves Christians full to the brim. He said, didn't he say this? I wish you were cold or hot. So I don't like all that shouting and carrying on. You better read your Bible. There ain't going to be no quiet side in heaven and a shouting side. There ain't going to be a smoking side and no smoking side. Somebody say amen right there. And honey, if you chew tobacco, you'll have to, you won't spit there. Somebody say amen. Say amen, Brother Mike. Swallowed, hallelujah. Just swallowed. That stuff cure polecat. Somebody say amen. That'd be my luck, Brother Mike. I love tobacco so good. Brother Mike, by the time I load that dip in, get it wet, one of my church members walk up and say, hey, dear preacher, I say, be my luck, I'd go down yonder to five down, buy me a lottery ticket, I'd win. That'd be my luck. They'd put it all over the paper. Bowden Baptist preacher. No, they'd say minister. Now they'd probably, hey, Brother Martin, they'd probably put Reverend Bowman. Reverend Bowman won the lotto at the Piggly Wiggly. I can tell you this, I'd tithe off of it. Somebody say amen. Some of y'all won't even tithe. I used to preach on tipping or tithing, but I can't preach that no more. Because tipping now is 15, you cheapskate. Say amen, Amanda. Amen. Miss Victoria, say amen. Eat $40 and leave a dollar. You cheapskate. Take you a calculator where you eat. Let me get serious and close. What you don't know, I've been serious the whole time. Now the command, filled the brim. Ephesians 5:18, be ye filled the Spirit. And watch this, verse 7, their commitment. And they filled them up to the brim. You know what they've done, y'all? This is a great truth. It's so simple, but it's such a great truth. Are you ready? Are you ready? They obeyed His Word. They simply just obeyed His Word. Now lastly, the woman, the want, the water pots, and the wine. It's not last. I'm going to give you another. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I may preach to 8:30. Let me go on record and say this. I'd rather be preaching the Word of God than anything I know this morning. And I'd rather be sitting in a building listening to the Word of God than anything I've ever done. Now watch, the wine. Verse number 8. He saith unto them, draw out now and bear to the governor of the feast. And they bear it, or they took it up. And the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine. And he knew not whence it was, but the servants that drew the water knew. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Now, the wine. First of all, in verse 8, he gives back. Always remember that. He'll always give back more than you give. Always. Did you know this last week in revival where we was at, there was a young preacher there and God put on our heart, me and Miss Renee, to help him. And God showed me the amount to do it, and I did it. And did you know already this week God has already given me above and beyond what I give to that family? You say, preacher, it don't work for me. Well, then you ain't doing it right. Give it as unto the Lord. Now he gives back. Verse 10, he gives best. And he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doeth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine till now. Now let me tell you, it's not that they was drunk and didn't know what was going on. This is what happened. At the party, they was used to at the party getting the best grape juice it was, and they got their palate permeated really good. And then they slipped in stuff that wasn't as good, and they didn't know it because they'd already had that good taste. And you know, that's just like the devil. He'll always give you the best of what he's got first, but he ain't got much to give you last. He'll show you all them billboards of, come on up to them nice horses of the Budweiser and enjoy all this high living, but he don't show you the backside of them billboards that me and Mama's seen through the years. Remember this, Brother Kevin, remember. In Matthew 4, Jesus being tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and the devil appeared to Jesus, and he showed him all the kingdoms he had. You know what the Bible said? In the moment of time, it don't take long for the devil to give you all he's got. But boy, it'll take you a lifetime to ever see the joys of Jesus. And Jesus, honey, let me tell you, he is his best for a lifetime. Now on this wine, he always gives back, he always gives best, and then he always gives a blessing. He said, boy, this is unusual. He said, y'all give us the best you got to start with right here. He said, now we're used to all of that, but he said, I want you to notice something. He said, y'all have kept the good wine until now. And then, though governor said, what is this? Said, I'm not used to all this. Verse 9, the ruler of the feast tasted the waters made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. You know what one old writer said, Brother Mike? I love what he said. He said this. He said, I'd rather be a servant and know where the wine came from than be governor and not know where it come from. The wine, he gives back, he gives best, he gives blessing. And then lastly, this is it. Not only the woman, the want, the water pots, the wine, but the wedding. The miracle had to do a lot with the wine, but I can tell you one thing. He focused on a wedding. This is what I want to say about our lives this morning. Lord, give me this yesterday, and I want to share with you. First of all, about this wedding, in verse number 2. Sister, if you come, won't you sing for me, Miss Julie, this morning? On this wedding, there's a person to call. Jesus was called to the marriage. And you'll notice there's a big difference in a wedding and a marriage. When Jesus is there, he can make a marriage out of it. And I can tell you this, this morning your marriage may not be where it ought to be. I can tell you how to fix it. Call Jesus to the marriage. So simple, but so profound. Call Jesus. Number two. Not only there is a person to call, but verse 10 and 11, there's a power that will change. I'm glad Jesus turned nothing into something. Did you know there's nothing that the Lord can't do? Nothing. And then, there are provisions to celebrate. There's a principle to challenge. Moses changed water to blood. That was judgment. But Jesus changed water to wine. That's joy. I'm glad by grace through faith are you saved. I was thinking about this yesterday, and this is what the old writer said. And well, that governor said, well, said, you've given us the best last. The world presents us with fair language and promising hopes and convenient fortunes, prideful honors. These are the outside of the bowl. But when it's swallowed, these dissolve in an instant. And there remains a bitterness and a loneliness. Every sin smiles in the first address and carries light in the face and honey in the lips. But when men have well drunk, then comes that which is worse, a whip with six strings, fears and terrors of conscience, shame and displeasures, and loneliness of the soul. But when after the manner, the purifying of the Christian, we fill our water pots with water. Watering our couch with tears. Moistening our cheeks with the perpetual distillations of repentance. Then Christ turns our water into wine. First waters of sorrow, then the wine of joy. For Jesus keeps the best to last. And I thought about this. The old prophet said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Christian, it may be tears and trials today, but Jesus will turn them to joy. And I love Him and I praise Him. My sister's going to play and sing this morning. This altar is open all around the house.